81 days, a little over 2.5 months. 81 days ago from this Sunday morning, we joined in celebrating the new year, January 1st, 2020. All of the excitement that the new year brings with it seemed real, and all the promise of a great year before us felt real. Promise of a year full of hope and progress stood before us. 81 days later, and we join all of mankind in a worldwide pandemic called the coronavirus. Past couple of weeks have ushered in a flood of fear, anxiety, and for some people, panic. We have faced unprecedented daily changes in our lives. Concerts and conventions, sporting events, schools and churches all announced that they were canceling and shutting down during this crisis. Restaurants and bars, beauty salons and barbershops, tattoo parlors have all been ordered closed until further notice. All non-essential surgeries have been stopped. In Ohio, more than 180 Bureau of Motor Vehicle Register offices were closed in the state. Governor DeWine also asked businesses that if they are still open, to take the temperature of every employee every day prior to work. The federal government has urged all Americans not to gather in groups of more than 10 people. And several times a day, we hear a reminder to wash our hands as often as possible and do not touch our face. We've been asked to stay home and away from people as much as possible. Self-quarantine and social distancing have become normal phrases in our vocabulary, phrases of speech that we didn't speak 81 days ago, all of which reminds us of the frailty of man. Our world has been turned upside down in a couple of months. For the time being, life no longer looks anything like it once did. The writing of the Apostle James never seemed more relevant than it does now. James 4:13 and following, we read, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." If the Lord wills. It seems to me that this is a good time to seek the will of God. In fact, every day is a good time to seek the will of God, not just in crisis, but every day of our lives. The wise man or woman lives in their life seeking God's will in everything. So in this crazy, unprecedented time right now, a time filled with fear, anxiety, and uncertainty, a time where every day seems to bring with it another crashing waves of disheartening news or unanswered questions, I can confidently share with you God's will for you right now, this day, this time, God's will for you personally. I can share this with confidence because God writes it across the pages of Scripture more than 300 times. The Bible says the equivalent of "do not fear" over 300 times. All of us have experienced stress and worry, anxiety at different times in our lives. We've had times of mild worry and times of serious distress. The truth is, life presents many opportunities for worry and even fear. And the result of these times in our life is we find ourselves with a lack of peace. Given a choice, we would all request a life of complete peace all of the time. Someone once defined worry as a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel in which all thoughts are drained. Someone else one time said, "Worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere." Actually, that's not true. Worry will get you somewhere, an early grave. If the reality is that life will present many opportunities for worry and fear, thus robbing you of your peace, then how do we handle it biblically? If we are people of God, if we are people that turn to God, if in these times we turn to Scripture, what does the Bible say to us? What reassurance does the Bible give us? What does God have to say to us in the pages of Scripture that will help us in these fearsome times? If you've been a follower of Christ for any time, you know that God is not pleased with worry. Because worry is considered a lack of faith, because worry removes God from the picture. God does indeed want us to be peaceful at all times, and yet he knows that in this fallen world we will have troubles and concerns. Now, I want you to understand and remind ourselves all that this current pandemic did not catch God by surprise. He is not shaken. God is still in control. If anything, God foresaw times such as these, and in his wisdom, he gave us his word to teach and reassure us. And we find, hopefully for you and me, a very familiar passage of Scripture that reflects just that, the reassurance by God and that prescription for his peace, if you will, in Philippians chapter 4. 4 verses 6 and following says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be anxious for nothing. Some translations say, don't worry about anything. Thankfully, God didn't just give us this command and leave it at that. And please realize, this is a command. It's not a suggestion. Be anxious for nothing. Be fearful about nothing. Don't worry about anything. Now, we have to understand that this section of Scripture was written as a source of encouragement. The previous verse tells us to rejoice in the Lord at all times and in all things. Times like this make it harder to do that, if we're going to be honest with each other. It's not easy to rejoice in God when you are faced with so much uncertainty, and yet the follower of Christ that knows him well knows that it's the best time to rejoice in God in all things. That's exactly because God knows that this fallen world will present many trials and worries, that he gives us clear direction for when we face these types of things. 4:6 of Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's acknowledging that there's going to be times that anxiety is going to hit, and he's telling us not to be anxious, not to allow the fear and the panic and the anxiety and the hysteria that we see surrounded all of us right now to be driven by that, not to allow that to drive us. Don't be fearful, be anxious for nothing. But instead of anxiety and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known, God. Come to God in prayer with your concerns. Every time you lose your peace, every time worry and anxiety begin to enter your life, in all things, go to God in prayer. And I want you to notice the Scripture says, notice prayer and supplication. Supplication is a petition, but prayer is a petition as well. So there's a clearer answer when we understand and consider the original language. Prayer here in this Scripture is a general form of prayer. It is prayer as praise, prayer as worship. The original language denotes a petitioner's attitude of mind as worshipful. In your times of anxiety, in your times of fear, in your times of uncertainty, worship your God in prayer. Start your prayer with worship. Start your concerns with acknowledging a holy God in the midst of all your trials, concerns, and fears. Now, supplication is a specific request, a petition. You go to God in worship, not just in demands, that we're so prone to do. You go to God in worship, then you present your request specifically, and you are thankful because you know He is listening, you know He is hearing on your behalf, and you know He's working all things out to good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know your God has your back. Now, hear me clearly, please. I am not presenting a formula for prayer. Many have done that, and it misses the heart of prayer. Prayer is and always has been about relationship. And we do see a wonderful promise when we take our worries and anxieties to God in this manner. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God that surpasses, that transcends all understanding. In other words, in the natural, to your understanding, your natural wisdom, you should not have peace. In the natural, when faced with a real, invisible enemy, if you will, called a coronavirus in this particular case, it shouldn't make any sense for you to have peace. It does not mean to walk foolishly and not to advise, you listen to the advice of the experts and be careful with all they've told us to do. But in the midst of all this very real trying time, unprecedented times, in the natural, to your understanding, your natural wisdom, you should not have peace. Anyone looking at the situation, whether it be this horrible coronavirus or whatever trial you may find in life, you look at that situation and you think, you're in trouble. Man, what are you going to do with this? But that's in the natural. But when we come to a holy God, we got to remember we come to the supernatural. When you come to the supernatural, no problem. God is in control. He's not worried. He is more than able. Suddenly, God's peace about the situation becomes your peace. Your prayer puts you at one with God. And the Greek word here for peace means peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, set at one again. I love that expression, set at one again. Your mind is no longer scattered in all different directions, like anxiety will do with no clear thoughts. Your mind is peaceful, clear focused, at one with God, the mind of Christ, at one with a God that is not fearful, that is not panicked, that is not overcome with anxiety, that has the answer to this virus and any other trouble you may be going through. At one with God. And a reality is anxiety is a product of unbelief or distrust in the providence of God. It's walking in unbelief of God's ability and provision. And when you walk in unbelief of God's ability and provision, God considers that sinful. You don't trust Him. You don't think He's got this. And I want you to consider the context of these verses. Philippians 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." It's rejoice in the Lord and always, and he almost hears the argument. Well, wait. You don't know what's going on. I mean, come on, are you kidding me? I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I'm fearful. What's happening? Rejoice. He says, well, no, I said rejoice. Let your gentleness, let your calmness, your spirit of the Holy Spirit, your calmness, your quietness be known to all men, because don't forget, the Lord is at hand. He's here. He's with you. He hasn't left you. So it becomes a call to joy versus anxiety. And it's a repeat of chapter 3, verse 1, which says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times, not just when things are going good, which, truth be told, we're prone to rejoice in God when things are going good. Rejoice in the Lord at all times, in all ways. Rejoice in the Lord, He is near, He is with you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Our lives are to be ones of rejoicing in the Lord, and when trouble comes, It is the Lord to return to for restoration of peace. If we begin in worshipful prayer, we are reminded that God inhabits the praises of his people. And in my life, I have found there's nothing more calming, more reassuring than the presence of my holy God. So you draw near to God in worship. You're reassured by his presence. And then you bring your specific request to him in faith, not unbelief or fear. And then you thank him in advance. Peace begins to fill you with reassurance resting in him. You thank him because you believe that he's hearing and moving on your behalf. So as peace begins to fill you with this reassurance, this rest in him. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Which surpasses all understanding. This word understanding in the original language in the Greek means your intellect, your mind, your thoughts, your feelings. It surpasses all that stuff that's going on in your head. In the natural, oh man, you've got this convention playing in your head. If you will, all these thoughts and all this bombardment of all the news, the 24/7 bad news. In the natural, oh man, but in the supernatural, with God, a peace that passes all understanding, in spite of what's happening, get this, guard your heart and minds. Guard your hearts and minds. I'm reminded of Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Now, this doesn't mean to be in denial. It doesn't mean to ignore your understanding. It doesn't mean to ignore the reality of what we're faced with. It doesn't mean to ignore the truth of this pandemic that is global. It doesn't mean to ignore it. We understand it's real. We understand it's an enemy, if you will. But we're not to lean on that understanding. We are to trust the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In every way you have, in every breath and everything you do, you acknowledge your God. And get this, he will direct your paths. He will give you wisdom and discernment. And God promises in Philippians to guard your heart and mind. And that word guard that God uses here means to be a watcher in advance. I love that. It means to mount a guard as a sentinel. Post spies at the gate to hem in to protect with the garrison. This surrounding of angels, probably, if you will, but this protection of God, this promise, this guard, this holy guard is guarding what? Your heart and your mind. That's just what goes to pieces in a crisis. Your heart and your mind, your thinking and your emotions become falling apart. But now God said, no, no, I will protect those. I will guard those. Your thoughts, perceptions, dispositions, feelings, and emotions guarded by God beyond understanding when it makes no sense. When everybody else is falling apart, you're falling upwards. You're falling into the arms of God. Peace floods you. Your situation and circumstances say one thing, but by submitting it to your Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to take over and protects you in the process. And there's something else here that we don't want to miss. You might not have caught it. The peace we have acquired, did you notice whose peace it is, this peace we're looking for? The peace of God. The peace of God, you're not going to find a better peace. God is a God of peace. Paul writes in a couple of verses later, Philippians 4:9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Romans 15:33 says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Romans 10:15 says, we have a gospel of peace. A God of peace, a gospel of peace, the peace of God. It's God screaming across the pages of the Word of God, do not fear. And notice, God never said you won't have trouble. He never said that nothing's going to come your way. We know that's just not true. He said when trouble comes and you turn to Him, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus beyond your understanding. Corrie ten Boom once said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength. I want you to hear that again. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength. Because worry takes you away from the God of strength, the God of peace. I remember I realized many years ago that you could have peace with God and not have the peace of God. Christ as Lord and Savior brings you peace with God. Salvation and the Word of taught teaches us that you have peace with God. You stand before God, righteousness of Christ Jesus. But Christ as Lord brings you the peace of God. You will not have the peace of God until you know the God of peace. But you can have peace with God and be falling apart on the inside because you don't turn to that God you have peace with. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see God as a God of peace, we begin to experience His peace in our lives in spite of circumstances. And God's peace is never, it's not a denial of trials or tragedy. Rather, it's His reassuring presence in the midst of trials and tragedy. It's His reassuring presence in the midst of them and His promise that He is aware and He is in control. Old Testament and New Testament alike affirm that God is a God of peace. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name will be called Prince of Peace. You can know the Lord. You can be born again at peace with God, heaven bound, and be full of anxiety. And that's exactly where God does not want you. When we find ourselves in that state, we must recognize we are not in God's will. When you are full of anxiety and fear and uncertainty, you are not trusting God and you are not in God's will. He's not telling you to ignore that. He's not telling you to ignore what's happening. He's telling you to turn to Him with everything in prayer and supplication and make your request known to God. I love Romans 15:13 now. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope, the same God that was a God of peace, is a God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in that process of believing when you've brought your request to God, if you will. That, not that you have a little bit of hope, but that you abound in hope by how? The power of the Holy Spirit. Our divine Creator wants to fill you with His peace and wants to flood you with this supernatural peace of God. Philippians 4 and Romans 15 are saying the same thing, joy and peace. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You could say the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace, oh, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us to walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. When we do that, we begin to experience the peace of God. Philippians 4 says to pray, to present, to trust, and be filled with God's peace. Take your anxiety to God, draw into His presence, be filled with His peace, and stay there. And when you find yourself walking away from there, losing that, you go back to the source, you go back to the well, you go back to the only one that can give you divine, supernatural peace, your God. And the following verses, they really give us a recipe for that. We saw a prescription in how we are to pray when you're anxious, and now he gives us a recipe, if you will. Philippians 4:8-9, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate, think on these things. And he says, the things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Pray, present your concerns to God, and then thank him for it. Don't dwell on the problem as if you don't believe God's going to do anything about it. And then, get this, watch your thought life. Watch your thought life. Think on pure things. Think on the things of God. Think on the promises of God. And your quiet times and your time when you're at home and you can't be doing the things you wanted to, get into the Word of God. Spend some time thinking about the Word of God. Spend some time in worship and prayer. Don't just flood your mind with all the bad news of the day. Flood your mind with the good news of the things of God. And when your mind is filled with God, when your mind is filled with peace, guess what? There is no room for fear or anxiety. There's nothing left because God said, I want to fill you with joy, hope, and peace. Fill you so there's no room for the anxiety in spite of the circumstances. Fill it with true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think, meditate on these things. And when we think the opposite, we lose our peace. We think on the false, the lie of the enemy, that you're going to get this, that you won't overcome this, that this is the end of the world, that everybody's going to get it and your family's going to be. All the lies, we think on the falsehood. We think on what's dishonest. The difference opposite of noble. The opposite of right is the unjust, which is the right. Right means just. The opposite of pure, we think on impure, tainted, polluted. The opposite of lovely, we think on the unlovely or the ugly. We fill our minds. The opposite of admirable, we think on the contemptible. The opposite of excellent, we think on the inferior. The opposite of praiseworthy, we think unfit and unworthy. When we think on the things of God, true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, the God of peace is with us, one that had promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Paul prayed in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, and afterwards, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Isaiah 26 was reminded of a beautiful scripture. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I hope you're seeing the purpose of watching and guarding your thought life. Fight for peace. Take a stand for peace. Be a peacemaker. You will be in God's will and you will be in his peace. Don't let fear and anxiety become pandemics too. Because that's exactly what the enemy's plan is with this whole thing. That the pandemic is only a part of it. The fear and anxiety becomes its own pandemic, the uncertainty. And we said just a short time ago, over 2.5 months ago, we looked at a wonderful year. We may have some difficult times in front of us. We have the uncertainty of we don't know how long this is going to be. We don't know how long our lives are going to be turned upside down. There are certainly people, many, that will suffer financially from this and suffer other, you know, physically from this thing. There's no question about it. It's an ugly, ugly thing. There's no question about it. But there's always hope for a good year. The people of God pray and turn this thing around. Trust God. We can have a wonderful year. God can turn this thing as quickly as our world seemed to fall apart. God can put it back together and God can bless it. In every moment, in every day of our lives, there's a place for the presence of God. I hope you heard that. In every moment, In every day of our lives, there is a place for the presence of God. You know, it's in adversity that we should learn to draw near to God. And when we draw near to God, we draw near to peace. We draw near to calmness. We draw near to His wisdom, His strength, His holiness, His truth. We choose to draw near to God in times of adversity. God's peace becomes our peace. God's strength becomes our strength. And then we become a blessing to all we come in contact with. Because the good news is, there's never been a better time than right now to be a blessing to those around you, to be strength in a time of weakness, to be God's strength in a time of weakness, to be light in a time of darkness, to be hope in a time of hopelessness, to speak of your righteous, holy, promising, peaceful God, and to be that light. So in the days to come, the weeks to come, and perhaps months to come, as we fight a very real enemy, let's remember that the battle is the Lord's, that we're not alone in this, that there's never been a better time right now to turn and draw closer to God rather than run away from Him. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank You for Your grace, for Your promise of Your presence, for Your holiness, for Your truth, and certainly for Your peace. That Your people turn to You, that we all, Father, turn to You. Lord Jesus, that we remember Your promise of never leaving us nor forsaking us. That You've got this. That You know what's happening. You're not caught by surprise. And You have the answer. And that You will give our leaders wisdom and discernment what to do. And that all people will have the understanding and wisdom to follow the advice You give them, Lord. So ultimately, we're following Your wisdom and Your will. May Your angels encamp about Your people, Father, and watch over them. May peace be in their households and provision in their homes, in spite of what's happening, that the righteous have never been forsaken or seed begging bread. That You bless Your people at all times. We give the praise in Jesus' name.